For many decades, Wisconsin's forests were monitored by people staffing fire towers. Using low-tech tools, they were the key to detecting forest fires before they could spread. But like in a lot of areas of life today, high-tech options are now available that might do a better job for cheaper. Plus, some of those towers have been deemed dangerous. The needed repairs would be expensive. As a result, Wisconsin's fire towers will no longer be staffed starting next year. Joining us now to talk about how Wisconsin's forest will be monitored is Trent Marty. He's director of the Bureau of Forest Protection for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Trent, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Happy to be here.
Well, before we get to the future of fire detection, let's look at the past a little bit. How big a role had these fire towers played in the past?
The fire towers have been critical for the success of our forest fire management program here in Wisconsin. Since when they were first put on the landscape in the 30s, 40s, and through the 50s and that, they were one of our primary means of fire detection, especially in the north. It was very lightly populated back in the 30s and 40s and things in that regards. For us to be able to spot a fire early to get resources to that fire was critical for our success.
Well, talk about, paint us a picture of what this job might be like for part-time workers seasonally, I think, going up during the times of highest risk. How far up are they going? What are they looking at? What's the vista there?
Well, most of the towers are located, of course, on the higher ground in the state of Wisconsin. Most of our towers are between 80 and 100 feet tall from the ground level. They generally have a sight picture, a 360-degree radius, so somewhere between 12 and 15 miles. Some can see a little farther than that. The smoke is large in that regard. So that's generally the primary the area they're looking at. They're above the canopies, so, I mean, it's quite a vista from any of the fire towers.
And a real simple procedure, I guess, they see smoke and they phone it in? Were these rigged with phone lines in the early days, or do they have to use a wireless radio of some sort?
Actually, in the early days, they were connected by phone lines, and the DNR actually had the second largest phone company in the state of Wisconsin.
No kidding.
At one point in time, in the 30s and 40s. Since that, we've transitioned over to portable radios and things in the towers and things, so use the radio communication system here in the state of Wisconsin to report the smokes.
How many towers are we talking about at their peak and now as they're winding down?
At one time in Wisconsin, we had 119 towers that function at the high point, which probably would have been in the mid-50s. Right now, we have 72 towers that are operational in the state of Wisconsin, and we staffed 60 of those towers last spring.
I heard the number 72 originally and thought, oh, that's one per county, but obviously they're not one per county. They're where they're needed in the forested areas of the state.
Correct. Our towers are really heavily concentrated in central Wisconsin in the sand area there, from Wisconsin Rapids over to Black River Falls, and then across the northern third of the state, where the heavily forested areas of the state are at.
Talking to Trent Marty, director of the Bureau of Forest Protection for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, talking about these fire lookout towers that are now being phased out here in Wisconsin. We've talked about the history some, Trent. Now, what has led us to this point today where we think we don't need these anymore, we're going to move on?
Well, it's really not a discussion about the effectiveness of fire towers. It really comes down to, of course, they've been on the landscape since the 30s and 40s, exposed to the elements here in Wisconsin for all this period of time. And, you know, it's getting to the point in time where they need to be replaced on the landscape where we're going to continue to use them. And as we looked at replacing them, each of those towers was going to be about $300,000 a piece in today's dollars to replace. And you do the math, the 72 times 300,000, and it comes out around $24 million. In regards to light of needs within the program, we just couldn't justify that type of investment in our fire towers here going forward. 90% of our fires these days are reported by the public with cell phones or by landlines. So we've decided not to make that investment in fire towers going forward. Rely on citizen reporting. Take the dollars that we used to have for staffing towers, doing the maintenance of the towers, and utilize that to provide additional aerial detection on those very high fire danger days in the spring.
Right, as I understand it, it used to be that a lot of these forests we're talking about were very remote, isolated, nobody living there, and if somebody happened to be hiking there, they didn't have cell phones back in the day because there were no cell phones, or when there were, there wasn't reception. That's less true now.
It is. the amount of people in northern Wisconsin has increased dramatically. Number of people in northern Wisconsin, either living, visiting, having a second home there, that have cell phones, access to that, for whether it's a forest fire or other type of emergency, has increased dramatically. And we think that we can still serve the needs of the state of Wisconsin and provide the fire protection we need by increasing our aerial detection and relying on the public to report fires.
So for the people who did this job, how, as I understand, they were part-time and seasonal, so how much of any given year might they be up in the actual tower?
On average, our towers were staffed about 17 days a year over the last 4 or 5 years. So only on those very high fire danger days did we staff towers. So
what actually happens to, the 72 towers themselves?
Well, each of those 72 towers is probably going to be a unique situation to work through. A lot of the towers are on public lands, state, county, or federal lands. So they'll have one path to work through. But actually, a majority of our towers are on private lands where we have easements with landowners that were developed in the 30s, 40s, 50s. And we'll have to work with the underlying landowner to meet what their needs are, what their wishes are and stuff for their land and for the tower going forward in the future. You know, we had some discussions in regards to trying to repurpose the towers for increasing broadband across northern Wisconsin. You know, that's something we're working with some communities up there to try and help repurchase the tower for the communities and things in that regard. So each tower, I think, you know, will work through it on an individual case basis and things like that. But there'll be a majority of different outcomes. Some towers will probably be removed from the landscape. Some will remain on the landscape, possibly as historical sites. Who knows?
I wanted to get into that, but before we get to the history idea, is there any talk of, I mean, it'd be pretty cool, I would think, to go up in one of these and have a look. Is there any thought or effort to taking some of these and making them accessible to the public?
Well, again, one of the reasons that we're actually closing these towers is because of the safety concerns and the structural integrity of the towers and stuff. We don't feel it's safe for our personnel to be in them, so we really don't want to encourage the public to be climbing the towers or even in that regard.
Fair enough. Well, this is, you mentioned the historical aspect. These are a part of our state's history. Is there any eye toward historical preservation of a couple of them just to have a monument to the way we used to track our forests?
That's actually something we're going to start looking at here in January going forward. Each of our towers that we have will be inspecting from a historical perspective. And I know there is a couple towers already right now that are in the process of being preserved, one in the town of Phelps. And then there's also another one designated on a historical landmark in the county of Marinette. So there will probably be several towers maintained here in the state of Wisconsin from that historical perspective.
I wonder, you're looking for public participation in this. Obviously, wildfires not really our worry right now today. But as the season comes in, who should the public call? They see a fire, is it they just called 911, or is there an agency that they should call to alert them to signs of a possible forest fire?
Nope. With any type of emergency, whether it's a forest fire or anything else, we want you to dial 911 right away, and they're used to handling it and dispatching the appropriate resources, whether it's a forest fire, a structure fire, or any other type of emergency house. So, yep, if you see smoke, smell smoke, dial 911, and they can bring their appropriate resources, whether it's the Department of Natural Resources or the local fire department, to the scene.
So as this change comes into effect in 2016, how do you measure success? How do you know if things are working okay without these towers having people in them?
We have some measures of success. We rely on rapid initial attack for measuring our success. So our measure of success is that each fire that's reported is staffed within 30 minutes of reporting.
All right, Trent, thanks a lot for joining us today.
I appreciate it.
That's Trent Marty. He's director of the Bureau of Forest Protection for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Joins us to talk about the end of an era. Starting in 2016, Wisconsin's staffed fire towers will be replaced with public observation, aerial observation, and other high-tech methods.